Part two is upon us, and use all of the knowledge that you got yesterday and that you'll get today from Evan Silva at DraftKings.com. All you need to do is use the promo code FEAST. You get to play in DraftKings free contest with $10,000 in total prizes this Sunday. You guys know the deal. You can play against in the big money contest. You can play against your friends. You can play different skill levels. It's awesome. The promo code is FEAST to compete for your share of $10,000 in total prizes. Contest is totally free to enter. So why wouldn't you try it? It's DraftKings. It's the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is part two of the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast presented by BetOnline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Me, Ross, he, Evan, with the best odds, fastest payouts. Speaking of paying out, after you guys win money in your leagues like you're going to, because Evan from RotoWorld is the man. And if you're not following him on Twitter, at Evan Silva, you're doing it wrong. I am merely a former offensive lineman that is getting pretty decent at the whole fantasy game. I don't break it down quite like Evan, but my drafts are pretty good. My lineups are pretty good. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Anyway, after you win, and you will win, if you keep listening to this podcast, you will win, go to Gamefly. Pretty game fly for a white guy. Nah, 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 nah. Well, I don't know why that song came. Pretty fly for a white guy. Anyway, what's the deal with this? I'll tell you the deal with this. A lot of you guys play video games. I'm not a big video game guy. I used to be. High school and college. It's tougher now. Anyway, if you are, though, you can go to gamefly.com/eatin. E-A-T-I-N. That's E-A-T-I-N. And start your free premium 30-day trial today. Premium trial allows you to check out two games and or movies, if you're not a video game guy, movies at a time. You can only get this offer by visiting gamefly.com/eaton. So check out games, check out movies. They got over 9,000 titles to choose from. And we choose to talk fantasy football here on part two, starting with the late games. It's the Bucks and the Arizona Cardinals, and I'm guessing you are all in on Adrian Peterson. All in.
No, sir. I mean, I guess there will be some people that start him this week. You know, that's a huge mistake. First of all, doesn't know the offense. Second of all, Bucks' strength as a defense is their run defense. Beat writers in Arizona expect Adrian Peterson, when he gets up to speed, to jump into Chris Johnson's role. Chris Johnson was getting 11.3 carries per game. That isn't going to help anyone. The run blocking downgrade is massive going from the Saints to the Cardinals. In Football Outsiders adjusted line yards, Saints are number 7 in the NFL in run blocking. Cardinals are 30th. That's third from the bottom. So definitely not optimistic about Adrian Peterson in the short term. In the long term, I mean, look, you know, we've learned time and again that running back opportunity trumps any of our other thoughts about a running back in fantasy. So if they do get into a position where they're somehow able to, you know, formulate a decent run blocking unit, and, you know, it's hard for me to imagine. But I wouldn't entirely rule it out, and I think that he is worth stashing on your bench. Although, you know, I would much rather have guys like, you know, certainly Jerick McKinnon, Buck Allen, even Elijah McGuire, certainly Aaron Jones, you know, all those guys more than Adrian Peterson. But I mean, I'm not going to totally rule it out. I think that Andre Ellington remains the lead back for the Cardinals. He simply fits the offense better. He's led the backfield in snaps played 3 straight games. He has target totals of 8, 14, 10 over that stretch. The Bucs have given up a ton of catches recently to opposing running backs. They gave up 9 catches to the Patriots running backs in week 5. Week 3, they gave up 8 catches to the Vikings running backs and 8 catches to the Bears running backs in week 2. Andre Ellington is a PPR starter. Carson Palmer is second in the NFL in passing yards behind Tom Brady. His quarterback weekly finishes over the past 4 weeks, quarterback 12, quarterback 11, quarterback 14, quarterback 12. So he's a high floor play. He has not shown a big ceiling, but I do like him better at home against the Buccaneers, traveling all the way across the country. The Bucs, so their defensive stats and you know their strengths and weaknesses are very much skewed so far by missing a bunch of guys, and they're going to get back some of those guys this week. But on the season, the Bucs have allowed the 5th highest completion rate in football and the 9th highest passer rating. And because they're so good against the run, they force you to attack them with the pass. So I think that Carson Palmer is a solid, you know, not spectacular, but solid fantasy play this week. The play that I like the best, of course, as usual, Larry Fitzgerald, number 7 overall PPR receiver on the season. He's got significant home road splits. His one huge game, of course, occurred at home in that Monday nighter against Dallas. But since the beginning of last season, Larry Fitzgerald averaging 8 catches for 79 yards and a half touchdown per game at home versus 5.5 catches, 51 yards, and 0.27 touchdowns on the road. He runs 65% of his routes in the slot, where the Bucs got beaten up by Danny Amendola, 8 for 77, Adam Thielen, 5 for 98, Sterling Shepard had a 5-catch game, Kendall Wright had a 7-catch game against the Bucs. You know, all slot receivers love Larry Fitzgerald this week. John Brown, this is a dude to root for. Contract year receiver who is, you know, trying to overcome a crippling, I even forget what it's called, sickle cell. But it has really debilitated him from a health standpoint. He has now strung together a couple of games and playing well. He continually has like crazy catches that, you know, that Bruce Arians doesn't review or, you know, are not ruled as catches on the field when they look like they should be. He's right there, you know, close to making, you know, it's a game of inches, and he's been close to making a lot of big plays. He played 80% of the snaps last week. Jerron Brown was down at 60%, J.J. Nelson 53%. So whereas John Brown was the number 2 receiver, it looked like entering week 5, John Brown is now that guy. And as long as he stays healthy, I expect him to be that. The Bucs now, again, you know, their stats and everything are skewed by having missed Brent Grimes for a period of time, et cetera. But they've gotten really hurt by perimeter receivers with speed. Odell Beckham, 7 for 90. Stephon Diggs, 8 for 173 and 2. Brandon Cooks, 5 for 85. Chris Hogan, 8 for 74 and a touchdown. Deontay Thompson, 4 for 57 and a touchdown. John Brown has at least 7 targets in all of his 3 appearances this year. And I think he's a fantasy starter this week. I think that Jerron Brown and J.J. Nelson are not nearly as easy to trust. On the Bucs side, I think we talked about this last week. I definitely talked about it in my Thursday column. But I think that the Cardinals are going to be a pass funnel defense because they have a gaping hole at number 2 cornerback. They give up a lot of production in the slot, and they lost their number 2 pass rusher, Marcus Golden, to a torn ACL. Carson Wentz proceeds to flame them for 315 all-purpose yards, 4 touchdowns, a career high. And 3 of the last 5, 3 of the quarterbacks to face the Cardinals so far have been top 12 fantasy quarterbacks on the week. The only exceptions to that were Jacoby Brissett and Brian Hoyer. So Jameis Winston, he can be up and down. You know, I wouldn't even say that the Cardinals fantasy defense is a bad play because of Jameis Winston can be a 2 and 3 interception guy. But I think he's got a lot of upside this week. Doug Martin looked awesome against the Patriots on Thursday Night Football. Unfortunately, the They did not. They were, I guess, really kind of unable to stick with the run, I guess, is one way to – they just didn't stick with the run. And that's the bottom line. The Cardinals do play really good run defense, but I think that Doug Martin looks good enough right now, and he should get more than the 14 touches he saw in his first game, that I think you can play him as an RB2 in fantasy football. Not necessarily on the daily fantasy radar yet for me, but – you know, he's getting there. He would be a contrarian daily fantasy play. Mike Evans, he's going to face off with Patrick Peterson. Last year, Mike Evans played a game against Patrick Peterson. He had 18 targets, and he came away with 6 for 70 and a touchdown. This was going to be the toughest matchup he gets all year. Through 5 games, no number one receiver has reached 50 yards in a game. The beneficiary here, you know, this sets up as a D-Jax week. DeSean Jackson, he now has 2 good games out of 4 with his new team. He should get a ton of Justin Bethel. That is frightening for the Cardinals. They should be worried about that. Justin Bethel, Pro Football Focus, has charged him with the NFL's 5th most yards allowed among cornerbacks and a league-high 4 touchdowns. You know, this is a huge blow-up spot. You look at some of the guys who've had big games against Justin Bethel, you know, Torrey Smith, Bryce Butler, speed perimeter players. That is D-Jax. The Cardinals have historically played good tight end defense. That has not been the case so far this year. Eagles tight ends crushed them. Last week, you know, Zach Ertz did his usual thing. Trey Burton caught a TD. Colts tight ends in week 2, 9 for 99 against the Cardinals. So not a matchup to fear. Cameron Brate set a season high in snap percentage, 68% in that Thursday night game against the Patriots. Also sent a season high in routes run, 40. And he's tied with Mike Evans for the team lead in red zone targets with 6 dating back to last season. Cameron Brate has scored a touchdown in 6 of his last 8 games. He is a fantasy starter against the Cardinals.
All righty. Let's move on to the next game, and it is the LA Rams and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who we know what they want to do, and they got pretty good corners. So what does that mean in this game for you?
I think it's a really tough spot and matchup for the Rams. I am surprised that the Jags are only favored by like 2.5, depends on where you look, but 2.5 to 3. The game actually opened as a pick 'em. I just don't think that the game sets up well for the Rams at all. You know, they're going all the way across the country. They have to put the ball in Todd Gurley's belly, and that's a mistake that they made last week against the Seahawks. They did not do that. Jared Goff fired up, 47 pass attempts. You know, this stuff is much easier to analyze in hindsight than during the game or whatever, you know, and coaches are trying to make decisions, in-game decisions. It's not easy, but that just is not the way that you go after the Seahawks. And, you know, you would think that Sean McVay, being as bright of a guy as he is, would kind of try to learn from that mistake, because the way that you go after the Jags is to run the ball. You know, you do not want Jared Goff dropping back to pass 50 times in this game. You know, that is not something that you want. So I would expect Todd Gurley to get fed early and often. Jags have given up 5.4 yards per carry to opposing running backs, have also allowed the NFL's 12th most receptions to running backs. Don't really want any part of anyone in the Rams passing game. I would say that the one guy who might stick out, and I mean, even Cooper Kupp, the Jags are very much like the Broncos at this point. They have good cornerbacks throughout their nickel package. And I know that Jalen Ramsey and AJ Bouye get most of their credit. Their slot corner, Aaron Colvin, is really good too. Don't really want to mess with Cooper Kupp this week. I would say that one intriguing deep league streamer this week, you know, maybe this week's George Kittle, is Tyler Higbee. Tyler Higbee played receiver at Western Kentucky. He has 145 yards over the past 2 games, set a season high in targets with 8 last week, and routes run, 26 against the Seahawks. You know, again, I think that the Rams need to run the ball in this game. But, I mean, Tyler Higbee's on the field a lot, and he's going to get opportunity. And the way that you go after the Jags defense is with tight ends. Right now, Tyler Higbee is out-snapping Gerald Everett, the second-round rookie, 78% to 32%. On the Jags side, you mentioned it, you know, the way we know exactly what they're going to do. It's like how we used to talk about the Cowboys, and the Cowboys don't have that going anymore. Their offensive line just really isn't good enough. I don't think at this point we know exactly what the Jags are going to do. Leonard Fournette, awesome, awesome fantasy play. Rams have not been very good against the run. 4.5 yards per carry allowed to opposing running backs, 6 rushing touchdowns in 5 games. Just don't want any part of the Jaguars' passing game whatsoever. You know, not trying to talk myself into Marquise Lee or Allen Hurns.
Yeah, I would think not. How about Pittsburgh and Kansas City? Seems like there'd be the potential here for a lot of points if Pittsburgh wakes up, maybe.
Yeah, are they going to wake up? That is the question. You know, I think that because Le'Veon Bell burned everyone, which was, you know, a product of the way that the Steelers, their play calling distribution, and it wasn't because of Le'Veon Bell, but I think that he is going to have such low ownership in fantasy football, and anytime that in daily fantasy, and anytime we can get a guy with his upside at really low ownership, I think he's worth talking about. Le'Veon Bell has scored 20 of his 29 career rushing touchdowns in road games, 70%. He's the squeaky wheel. He complained openly about his workload. Last week, the squeaky wheel was Antonio Brown. He had 19 targets against the Jaguars, you know. So they made a suboptimal decision in order to feed the squeaky wheel. Now they can make an optimal decision and, you know, feed Le'Veon Bell. And the Chiefs' run defense, it started off pretty well. It hasn't been that great lately. 4.4 yards per carry allowed to opposing running backs over the last 3 games. Le'Veon Bell last year played the Chiefs twice, playoffs and regular season, 178 and 164 total yards. He's going to be very contrarian and low-owned this week, and he can absolutely blow it up. I would be afraid to use Ben Roethlisberger at Arrowhead. I am not necessarily of the belief that he is washed up. I think that, you know, the Jaguars made a lot of plays last week. There were some bad ball bounces. And so I don't just look at the stat sheet and be like, five interceptions, he's done. You know, you got to break down the interceptions play by play. And, I mean, I would say that one of them was an egregious mistake. I don't think that he is, like, washed in terms of skill level. I think that he could get it back going. I don't really want to bet on him, you know, considering his road game splits and considering the fact that the Chiefs have held each of their last 8 opponents to 20 points or fewer and an average of 16.2 points per game during that stretch at Arrowhead. So I wish he was in a better spot, but he's just not. Now, Antonio Brown, I think, can produce here. Antonio Brown in last year's 2 meetings with the Chiefs, 4 for 64 and 2 touchdowns, and 6 for 108. Marcus Peters doesn't scare me for Antonio Brown. You know, Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. Mike Clay of ESPN, who we've of course had on the feast before, he noted this week on Twitter, Juju Smith-Schuster, the Steelers' slot receiver, has outsnapped and ran more routes than Martavis Bryant in 3 straight games. And then today, there was an article in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that the Steelers may start to take it easy on Martavis Bryant. Juju Smith arrow up, Martavis Bryant arrow down. Juju Smith-Schuster is a legitimate fantasy consideration this week. I even thought about playing him in my cash games in daily fantasy. We'll see. I haven't made any decisions on that yet. But he plays 62% of his routes in the slot. Chiefs slot cornerback Philip Gaines, dead last among 109 qualifiers in Pro Football Focus's cornerback grades. Very good matchup for Juju Smith, Schuster, who's, you know, he's quick. He's been a quick study. Don't want anything to do with Jesse James, just a touchdown or bust guy. Kareem Hunt should really, really smash. I think that one of the best correlation plays in daily fantasy this week, Kareem Hunt plus the Chiefs fantasy defense against, you know, Ben Roethlisberger throwing all the picks. The Chiefs over the Steelers over their last three games have allowed over 6 yards per carry to opposing running backs. They've also given up the eighth most receptions to opposing running backs on the season. Big home favorite. Kareem Hunt pretty much checks every single box for me. Has over 100 total yards in every game so far this year. Alex Smith, you know, I think it's been it's hard to assess how good Pittsburgh's pass defense is because they have – this is the list of quarterbacks that they faced. Shawn Kizer, Case Keenum, Mike Glennon, Joe Flacco, Blake Bortles. That's the easiest schedule of any team in terms of pass offenses faced so far this year. So, you know, I'm not we talked about it last week. Like, I'm not betting against Alex Smith. This team leads the NFL in points per game, almost 33 points per game. They lead the NFL in yards per play. Just super efficient, you know, in every respect. And Travis Kelce was back at practice today. My guess is that he'll play. You know, it can always be tricky with concussions. But I'm hopeful that he will play. I'm optimistic. If he does not play, of course, that would elevate. That would make like Demetrius Harris a guy that would at least be worth discussion. We've named a bunch of streamers I would prefer to play over him, but Demetrius Harris, former basketball player, he has gotten some targets. They use him in a lot of two tight end sets. Yeah, he's got 8 targets so far on the season. So, and he scored a touchdown. I want to say it was against the Patriots in Week 1. But he would at least be a guy worth discussing. Chris Conley out for the year, torn Achilles. Doesn't really make Albert Wilson or DeMarcus Robinson particularly interesting to me. But if we see that like Travis Kelce is out, I think that Tyreek Hill becomes a must play in daily fantasy, and I think that takes care of that game.
Boom, and another one. Let's get to the Chargers, who got a win against the Raiders. And it looks like they'll get Derek Carr back. What are you telling Amari Cooper owners, Evan?
Oh, I'm staying the course. I mean, you know, he's not really a guy that we've been like touting the last few weeks. You know, we've been talking about him that he's a risky start and or a guy that you just don't want to start. But, you know, historically what you do is you bet on great talents who have gotten off to slow starts, faced rough schedules, you know, had their quarterback hurt. I mean, you look at Amari Cooper's, where he stands historically, you know, considering what he did at his ages, he's a special skill level player. And if you look at the target distribution of Derek Carr, Amari Cooper has 12 more targets than Michael Crabtree on the season delivered by Derek Carr. They're going to keep going to him. You know, one thing that the Cowboys, when Dez Bryant was going through struggles early in his career, is they would get him targets early in the game to kind of like get him going. And I think that that's something that the Raiders should look into. Now, this is not going to be a cupcake matchup. I mean, I think that Casey Hayward would be more likely to chase around Amari Cooper, but you know, the Chargers are his own defense under Gus Bradley, and they don't necessarily always shadow. He will shadow sometimes, but he won't shadow the entire game. I think just we're trying to buy low on Amari Cooper in season-long leagues. We're downgrading him in the short term to like a third receiver / flex in fantasy. But I mean, you know, people are telling me that they're like dropping him in their leagues. You know, don't do that. Please do not do that. Crabtree is, of course, the most stable wideout on the Raiders. He's gone over 80 yards in 3 of 4 games this year. He also seems less likely to draw Casey Hayward. And then if you look at Michael Crabtree's historical stat lines against the Chargers, since he joined the Raiders, Michael Crabtree scored a touchdown in all 4 games played against the Chargers. You know, I don't really buy into that sort of stuff, that BVP stuff as predictive. But I know that people like to see that. Chargers have been tough against tight ends. Evan Engram, 0 catches. Travis Kelce, 1 catch. Julius Thomas, 3 for 26. Zach Ertz was the only tight end who's really done decently against the Chargers. And, you know, we talked about Zach Ertz on the first podcast. It just doesn't matter who he plays. He gets the ball so much. But I don't love this spot for Jared Cook. I do love this spot for the Chargers, and I think that you know, this game has some high scoring potential with Derek Carr back on the other side. Oh, didn't even touch on Derek Carr. I would like to see him play a game healthy. The Chargers are a run funnel defense. You know, the matchup is better for Marshawn Lynch. What you're dealing with Marshawn Lynch is the usage, because he's gone four straight games now with 13 or fewer touches. And, you know, you know what you're dealing with. He's a guy who's in a good matchup, and he has not been getting the ball very often. And he's going to be touchdown dependent, you know, because of the way that he's being used. I would avoid Derek Carr. Chargers do play solid pass defense, and you know, I want to see him play a game healthy. He had a fractured bone in his back, and this is supposed to be an injury that you can bounce back quickly from. But I'd want to see it. You know, you can stream quarterbacks, and then you have Derek Carr on your bench, and if he has a good game, you know, you don't like kick yourself for that. You're like, okay, now I know to use him in the following week. Phillip Rivers, top 12 fantasy passer in 4 of 5 games so far, and that's despite having a really tough schedule. The Raiders have given up monster games. Marcus Mariota, quarterback 6. Kirk Cousins was a quarterback 4. Josh McCown was a quarterback 13. That's Josh McCown's best fantasy performance on the season. And then in their other two games, they faced Trevor Siemian and Joe Flacco in games that were just, you know, not games that were competitive, and those quarterbacks just didn't have to do much. But the Raiders are 30th in pass defense DVOA on the season. I think Phillip Rivers smashes. Melvin Gordon woke up. You know, I was worried about him last week. You know, from seeing him play, from seeing Austin Ekeler outplay him. You know, I just totally missed that he was going to be a breakout player in week 5. Just did not see that coming at all. But the Raiders, they've gotten smashed on the ground last two games, 4.6 yards per carry to opposing running backs. Raiders have also allowed the 7th most receiving yards to running backs on the season. This is a week-by-week game, and we evaluate with new information, and our new information tells us that Melvin Gordon is healthy and the workhorse again, and he's a great play against the Raiders. Keenan Allen is 3rd in the NFL in targets, 4th in receiving yards. Awesome play at the Coliseum. He should really, really eat. And you know, I think that this game again has back and forth shootout potential. I guess the Chargers are going to try to play Mike Williams this week. You know, I get a lot of questions about Mike Williams. I would not pick him up. I think he's going to be a rotational player, and I just would rather use my roster spot on a running back with upside as opposed to a guy whose upside is like a rotational pass catcher in a deep pass catcher core. And then, of course, Ross, you have noted how guys coming back from back injuries, you know, there's no guarantees on Mike Williams. But it does take a lot of the, you know, the value and the outlook away from the reliability away from Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin, which is a shame because this is a pretty good matchup. I mean, Mike Wallace lit up this Raiders secondary last week, only saw 3 targets, caught all 3, 133 yards, 2 plays of 50-plus yards. Hunter Henry, we're back. We're back, baby. And we talked about how I thought it was going to be on for him. On last week's show, it was. Season highs in targets, 8. Season high in playing time, 76%. Routes run, 33. He should really, really smash. I'm trying to fit him into my you know, as many DFS lineups as I can. The Raiders got smashed by Vernon Davis, 5 catches for 58 and a touchdown. 7 for 76 by Delanie Walker. A.J. Derby blew up on them in week 4. So I love Hunter Henry this week, and we can move on to the next game.
All we have left are the 2 night games. Let's start with the Giants and the Broncos. What Giants are you playing this week, Evan?
I mean, you can play Evan Ingram against the Broncos. What you kind of don't want for them to do is to start using him as a wide receiver, and then he ends up getting matched up on Aqib Talib or something. You know, so I think he's got a little bit more risk than maybe initially meets the eye, but you know, it's very clear that the plays here are on the Broncos' side. I mean, we should talk a little bit from a forward-thinking standpoint, because Roger Lewis, I think, is worth picking up. And Sterling Shepard, if he hit the waiver wire. Now, I don't even think Sterling Shepard's going to play this week. But, you know, these guys are in position to get a lot of targets going forward. You want to be a step ahead, not a step behind. I think Roger Lewis is a good prospect coming out. He was a huge recruit, had some off-field issues, ended up at Bowling Green, ripped it up, great athlete. Every time he's got an opportunity, he's capitalized. And, you know, I play in a deeper dynasty league. I put in a monster bid for Roger Lewis. I mean, I pretty much bet my whole budget on him. I'm definitely going to get him. But I like him as a prospect, and he has a ton of opportunity. But the plays here are Broncos defense, C.J. Anderson. Don't really, you know, not as excited about Trevor Siemian. He really is a game manager, but despite that hot start. Demaryius, I think, is probably going to get locked up on Janoris Jenkins, so Emmanuel Sanders is a good play. A.J. Derby, just wish he played more. I mean, he's still playing like 30% of the snaps. He had the big game against the Raiders, and, you know, love using tight ends against the Giants, but he would be below guys like George Kittle and Austin Hooper for me this week.
All right. What about for the Broncos?
Yeah, we knocked the whole thing out, Ross.
Dude, I totally zoned out there.
It's all right. I understand.
Dude, I zoned out while you were talking to Evan Engram.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny because usually, you know, your breakdowns are a little bit longer, but because the Giants were just Evan Engram, it was just like, boom.
We could just skip them, basically.
All right, well, then let's just get to the last game. It's the Colts and the Titans.
Yeah, this is the only game that I have not broken down yet, and it's because I don't know.
What? It's a Thursday.
I know. I'm slacking, man. But I have one game left to go, and this is it. And I just, you know, I saved it for last, not only because it's a Monday night game, but because I don't know if Marcus Mariota is going to play. Do you have any sort of, like, hunch or anything on Mariota?
I don't. I haven't read it.
Neither do I.
Although I will say I saw initially someone said it was like a 2 or 3 week injury. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that was reported or where that came, but I noticed that. So we'll see. I would guess – if I had to guess, I would guess that he won't.
Yeah.
But – but that's like a 50-50 one there for me. I just don't know. I know that they don't want it to act up on him again, but I think they also want to make sure they win that game. I don't know. That's a tough one. All right, cool.
I mean, we can talk a little bit about the Colts. Marlon Mack, I think that he's going to be, you know, he's like a super hot item on the waiver wire, but he's going to end up being a tease. You know, and he was a guy that I liked plenty coming out of college. And, you know, we know what kind of a player he is. He's a boom-bust player. We talked about him a ton during all of our draft series, et cetera. You know, he's going to be like a guy who gets 10 touches for 92 yards and a touchdown 1 week, and then the next week he gets like 7 carries for 4 yards. And now he is facing a very good Titans run defense. Frank Gore is not going away. You know, so I understand we get excited about excited players. This dude is not really a good fantasy investment. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. But I don't see the opportunity. He needs Frank Gore to get hurt, essentially. Jacoby Brissett has really got it going with T.Y. Hilton. Love to see that. Nothing to fear about the Titans secondary. Jack Doyle should be back this week. You know, before what has occurred in the recent games with Jacoby Brissett and T.Y. Hilton, it was looking at like Jack Doyle was Jacoby Brissett's go-to guy. You know, I don't know how to break down the Titans, so we're done here.
I think we're done here. But we're not done here, because fantasy football fans, that's all of you. Some of you have still not signed up for draft. dudes, what are you doing? It's a real live snake draft, but you're in under 5 minutes, and they last just 1 week. You can join one right now for week six. Best part, you're playing for cold, hard cash. Get this, your chance of winning 80% better than on the salary cap sites. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code FEAST. That's right, you're playing a real money game for free just by using the promo code FEAST. Gets even better. Draft.com is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Fantasy Feast listeners a money-back guarantee. Listen to that, money-back guarantee. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code FEAST. Speaking of that, now we're done, Evan. Now we can say we're done. That'll do it for the Fantasy Feast podcast, part two, on a Friday. You guys don't often get that, but hey, it was a unique week. Don't know what else to tell you. iTunes rankings, comments, always appreciated. Now I'm totally stuffed because we just recorded both back to back. I'm done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.